Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints a true restoration of the way the early Christian church was set up? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we cited Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church, a talk that he gave in May of 1861, where he was discussing the ability of even one single priesthood holder, the power that one single priesthood holder had, that if he was the only one left on the face of the earth, that all the other priesthood holders were all killed off, that this one priesthood holder alone has the authority to reestablish the Christian church and set it all aright. And he emphasizes this quite strongly. Now, at the end of this particular portion that I was citing, Brigham Young says this. He says, "Whoever is ordained to the office of an elder to a certain degree possesses the keys of the Melchizedek priesthood. And suppose only one elder should be left on the earth, could he go and set in order the kingdom of God? Yes, by revelation." The point we were making yesterday is that the Book of Mormon teaches that Jesus ordained several apostles, though it doesn't say apostles in the text, that's how it's understood by Mormon leaders and Mormon manuals, but three of those 12 desired to remain alive in order to continue preaching the gospel to those left on the earth. And not only that, but the Apostle John, according to Doctrine and Covenants section 7, he was also granted that same kind of privilege to remain alive and bring souls unto God. The question we asked yesterday was if, in fact, they had the priesthood authority to reestablish the church, why didn't they? We have no record of John ever trying to reestablish the church. We have no converts today that could trace their spiritual lineage back to the Apostle John. We just don't have anything like that. The same goes for the three Nephites. If, in fact, they had the ability to reestablish the church and set it up properly after this alleged great apostasy, why didn't they do so? It seems like they were negligent in using that authority that they had at their disposal.
It's interesting, and this is a side note, but the three Nephites have supposedly been seen by a number of Latter-day Saints. We have a lot of different stories, and they're always coming to the rescue, but it's always a physical kind of rescue. It never seems to be a spiritual kind of rescue. They're on the side of the road, the flat tire, and the Nephites come and they take care of it. So a lot of Mormons have over the years believed that, but I've never heard them talking about the potential for them to have the priesthood that they could have before Joseph Smith reestablished the church. We wouldn't have gone through this great apostasy then.
You would think so, but yet the apostasy is absolutely essential in Mormon doctrine because without it, there really is no legitimate reason for the Mormon church to exist. And this is why, folks. The Mormon church today claims that it is a restoration of the way the church was set up earlier. They believe that their gospel is a restored gospel. The church is a restored church. So in other words, they are telling us that the early church was set up like the church that the Mormons have today.
Well, it's all based on Joseph Smith history, chapter 1, verse 19, where Joseph Smith, receiving the first vision from God the Father and Jesus, he was told that he must join none of the churches there, for they were all wrong, and the personage who addressed me said that all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those professors were all corrupt, that they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, for they teach doctrines of the commandments of men. And that's the whole bottom line here. You don't have the Mormon church having to be established if you don't have God the Father and Jesus appearing to Joseph Smith, telling him that he's going to reestablish the true church.
Well, let's emphasize what we're trying to get across here today. Sixth President Joseph F. Smith, the sixth president of the Mormon church, and you can find this in a book that was put together by Rulon D. Burton called We Believe, Doctrines and Principles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's page 744. This is what Joseph F. Smith says about this whole idea of all of the others being killed off and there being only one remaining.
He wrote, "If the presidency were to be killed off, then the Council of the Twelve Apostles would stand in their place and preside until the presidency should be restored. And if they and the first presidency were all killed off, then the 70s would come forward, and they would establish the order of Zion and renew the order of the priesthood upon the earth. And if all the 70s were killed off, and yet there was one elder possessing the Melchizedek priesthood, he would have authority to organize the church under the command of God and the guidance of his Holy Spirit, as Joseph did in the beginning, that it should be reestablished in its perfect form. So you can see that this organization is well nigh indestructible."
Well, wait a minute. Do you see what I see here? If the church as it's set up now is indestructible, but we're given the impression that it's going to be set, it's set up as it was originally, why wasn't the original church indestructible?
Well, and that begs the question as well as, couldn't the church go into apostasy today?
Well, it would seem that somehow it should be able to if the first church fell into apostasy, and that's my point. The Mormon church wants to tout itself as a restoration of the original. And notice the phrase, that it should be reestablished in its perfect form. That gives the impression to the listener here that the perfect form was, where was that? Well, it was the original church. Mormon leaders have even said as much. That's the way it was supposed to be. They believe they are believing and practicing as the early church believed and practiced. The question we have here, though, is if it is true, if there was only one elder possessing the Melchizedek priesthood, he would have the authority to organize the church. And if, in fact, it is indestructible.
Indestructible,
as he says,
yeah.
It should have never happened in the first place.
Something that's indestructible can't be torn down. And so if it was set up that way in the beginning, why didn't it remain?
I think that's a fair question to ask. I can't recall ever reading from any general authority trying to address the questions that we're posing today and the questions that we posed yesterday. It's always just naturally assumed that there was this complete apostasy. And of course, the Mormons would argue that the proof that there was a complete apostasy is because they are very unique in the way they practice, and they are very unique in the way they believe. They believe things that certainly we as Christians do not believe. And when they argue, well, that's proof of the great apostasy because you're different than us, I say, wait a minute, you're arguing from silence unless you can show me some evidence that the early Christians ever believed like modern Mormons believe. And to this date, I'm hard-pressed to find this evidence. And what historical things they do tend to bring up many times, They're bringing up bad examples that we would say those were heretical ideas and practices. They weren't something that was considered orthodox, but the Mormons would have to assume that they were orthodox in order to give them some legitimacy.
Let me quote from 13th President Ezra Taft Benson. I mean, we're quoting from older folks like Brigham Young and Joseph F. Smith, but he was the 13th president. This is what he said at a conference, a general conference, from October 1949, page 26 of conference reports. He said, "As a restored church, we affirm that with the passing of the apostolic age, the church drifted into a condition of apostasy, that succession in the priesthood was broken, and that the church, as an earthly organization operating under divine direction and having authority to officiate in spiritual ordinances, ceased to exist. This is a attested to by history. We affirm also that all this was foreseen and predicted by the apostles when they were living, yea, and by the master in his day. The apostasy had started during the days of the apostles and was referred to frequently by them."
But don't you see all the inconsistencies in his statement? Just alone, I mean, when he talks about the succession in the priesthood was broken. Well, really, it wasn't broken if John is still alive.
That's exactly
and it wasn't broken if you have three Nephites that have this priesthood authority. It really wasn't broken. So he's making an assumption that he says history attests to. But wait a minute, Mormon history doesn't attest to that. It would actually say quite the opposite, Mr. Benson, that there was this steady line, even though they may not have been in communication with each other, even if they were not even on the same hemisphere, that wouldn't really matter because the authority was still there. The line was not broken, as he's trying to imply.
And the Bible, I think, is very clear that Jesus would never leave nor forsake his people. And he says there are scriptures here that were predicted by the apostles when they were living. But we've looked at those before in this show and have shown that those are taken out of context. Some have departed, and other in the context, other places where nowhere does it say that complete apostasy was going to take place and that there would be a need for a restoration.
You're exactly right. What the Mormons have done, and this is not uncommon, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints often does this. They will take certain little pet proof texts, and they will read into the scriptures things that are not even in the text. Like you say, that some shall depart from the faith. How do you go from some shall depart from the faith to everyone is going to depart from the faith? That is quite a leap. The scriptures, the New Testament, does not allude to this kind of a conclusion. But yet that is the conclusion that the Mormon Church must take in order to give itself some legitimacy.
We've covered a lot of those passages on our website, mrm.org. If you go to the left-hand side under topics, go to Bible passages, and some of those from Timothy and Thessalonians and others are talked about there, and we explain those passages in detail. So if anybody brings to you a verse that says there would be a great apostasy, maybe check that out on our website. It might be helpful to you.
So the next time you have a Mormon talk about this alleged great apostasy, you might ask them just some of the questions that we've raised, not only in today's show, but also the questions that we raised in yesterday's show.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. We at Mormonism Research Ministry hope you will likewise pray for us that the word will go forth and be glorified. Pray for direction as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance as to where God wants us to focus our attention. Pray for wisdom that we might have the right words to speak to Latter-day Saints who are struggling with their faith. Pray for the physical and spiritual health of our staff and families. Pray that, as a ministry, we are able to meet the financial obligations that naturally accompanies effective ministries. Pray for opportunities to educate fellow Christians who may not feel confident when sharing their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. We hope that you will also pray for the entire body of Christ, that all of us will have a greater love for those who are lost, and that this love will give us a sense of urgency to share the message of grace that sets the captive free."